Just went through an hour there. I don't remember much about it. That was pretty quick, wasn't it, Josh?
It was.
All right. We'll talk to some folks here in a minute. It's, Sandra Springer is with us. We're at Logan's, by the way. The brand new grand opening of Logan's at the State Farmers Market. This is in the building that is just above just north of the Farmers Market restaurant. The building is same shape, but you won't have any trouble finding us. We're at the back of the property, and out with all of the plants, all of the shrubs and so forth. Nice breeze out here this morning. It's just a beautiful, perfect day for a grand opening. Sandra Springer is one of the longtime vendors and been a sponsor on the Weekend Gardener and Springer Ponds. And you have, good morning to you, Sandra. You have really taken a hillside and really made it something, haven't you?
Thank you. We like to think so.
And that's what you do. You recreate.
We do, yes, sir. It's been about 15 years now.
Describe what you have here. Now, what's the water source? It's a waterfall and rocks and all of that, but what's the water coming from?
It's recirculating. So we have a basin in the bottom that keeps a majority of the water out of the sun. So we try to cut down on the algae. It's a lot less maintenance doing a pondless waterfall than an actual pond.
Right.
Most of the time people see the koi pond with the fish.
Because the water's moving for one thing.
Yep. So it's just recirculating. The rain will top it off, and if necessary, a hose or an autofill. But it doesn't have to have a full source all the time.
Do you ever have big birds fly down to check it out? Cranes?
Yes. All animals. Deer, raccoon.
Yeah, just checking it out.
Well, they like to come over and drink. It's a source.
Yeah. I'm sure they like the look of it, but I'm sure they're disappointed to some extent because there's usually no animal there.
That's true. There's no fish for them to eat.
Yeah.
We have a lot of clients who get these for bird watching. They love to have a place. The birds are just drawn to it and bathing and drinking and that sort of thing. So, yeah.
Now, there is a four-year-old. That looks very familiar since I have a four-year-old grandson. He is putting his hand in there, testing the water, as
testing
it were.
The water.
It's kind of a life lesson there. Test the water.
That's true.
And your partner in business is his son. So, yeah, he's just getting familiar with this. Did he help build it? Did the young man help build it?
He did not help on this particular one. We do take him out occasionally, and he'll spend a couple of hours. But we have to have shorter work days for him.
Sure. But he looks like he knows what's going on.
He
at least knows
it.
How to test water.
I think he has water in his veins for sure.
fearless.
Definitely fearless.
Well, it's gorgeous. Now, you incorporated, what is the grass? Is that a grass?
There's mulch around the sides of it. In the center, yes, we do have some aquatic plants. We've got some, just some sage grass, some rush grass. We have some iris over there tucked in somewhere. We usually do parrot's feather, forget-me-not, creeping Jenny, and I love impatiens. I love to take impatiens and take the dirt off and stick them in there. They have water to their roots all summer long, and they just bloom and multiply, because I'll kill one in a pot in a heartbeat. I can't seem to keep it watered enough.
So impatience, we talk so much on this show about not plants not liking wet feet, but
impatience
like
yes they do
wet
and
feet.
Creeping Jenny too. So yeah, if you plant an impatient, just kind of take the dirt off of it and tuck it into the little rocks on the side of the stream, it's got constant water flow and they'll quadruple in size in no time. I usually have them last until late November before I end up having to pull them out.
Well, how do folks contact you? Because everybody needs something like this. And I'm sure you have a lot of different designs. And I'm sure you come up with creative designs.
Yep, we try to customize based on the family's needs and wants, whether there's children or dogs, whether you want them in or don't want them in, that sort of thing. So there's lots of options. We can be reached. We've got a website, of course, springerponds.com. And then our office number is 919-818-0290.
Very good. Thank you so much for joining us
here.
Thank
you for having me on.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Folks, you need to come out and see this. Are they going to be any additions here?
We've discussed some other water features around the property.
Yes, sir.
Sandra's been a great partner of Logan's for many years. She worked closely with our landscape designers when we were doing landscape installations and maintained multiple water features at our previous location, and this one's just absolutely fantastic. And I'd love to invite everybody to come out and come to the back of the nursery department and see what a pondless waterfall looks like. It's something that could really fit in anybody's landscape, whether they have a big estate size lot or even a small downtown Raleigh lot.
That's right. Thank you.
Yeah.
And we make them various sizes. We wanted to try to capitalize on the hillside here and give as much sound as we could. So I love the drops. I think it's gorgeous. I'd be sitting here having lunch every day probably. But
Chris, are you putting this the little film of this on Facebook?
What?
Of the didn't you take some
a
picture?
I said to you, I don't have Facebook.
Okay. All right. I'll put it on the Facebook page then, so people can see it in action. But we've got to get the water right here. It's a very contentious issue, I'd say, down there.
Yeah, he's just going to make sure there's no problems.
It's got to be right texture, right temperature, and all of that.
Yep.
He's going to get wet all over here before long. He's going to fall in.
Until he is soaking wet, he's not going to be happy.
Wonderful. Thank you, Sandra.
It is an absolutely beautiful day. Thank you
for
having us.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. All right, Brother Rufus, you...
I was looking here at JC's new book, little booklet of...
Goodies.
Of goodies.
And you do like goodies, don't you?
Oh, I love goodies. And the goodies are here to have. And we just had a visit from our friends at the... Farmer's Market Delicatessen. I call it a delicatessen.
Well,
and
we
if somebody's real nice and comes
the other end.
If they come and tell me that they like a Rufus dog, we'll give them one.
I'll pass that down to Rufus. He always organizes the food.
Now, of course, for our listeners, if they're trying to find the Farmer's Market Delicatessen, they're going to be looking for the market grill.
Right.
Over there in the market shop.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. We don't want to throw them off. We don't have a new place to eat out here, but that's the home of the Rufus dog, mustard, slaw, chili, and onions.
Joff, you had one of those dogs down there?
I have had a bacon cheeseburger from down there, and it was absolutely fabulous. I have not had the Rufus dog. I wasn't sure if you had to pre-qualify for that.
No, I think you're already signed up for that, qualified, so you can have one anytime. JC, I noticed you had something about Oakwood Cemetery in here, historic Oakwood. And there is at least one WPTF announcer buried there. And he is in there is a book about Oakwood Cemetery, and his gravesite is in that book. Jimmy Capps is buried there. Jimmy Capps is buried there. Yeah. So and Coach V is buried there, and a lot of and their governors, and a lot of Civil War generals and so forth buried there. So,
that's where my ashes will be interred, in the part there in the part cemetery, family cemetery in Boone. You know, back up.
So you're gonna split things up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mark them up.
Yeah. It's kind of like Jerry Garcia, Grateful Dead. He split his up. Some are in the ocean, some are in the Ganges, some are here, Mediterranean. He's all over the place.
I just want to aggravate people in different
places.
Well,
you're kind of all over the place. So, yeah, I understand that. That's a good idea. It's really a good idea. So I'm glad you told us that.
My burial spot is in Oakwood. My wife is buried there, and it's a very historical grave.
It's a fascinating place to visit. It truly is, and it's.
And the Confederate cemetery there is a really wonderful story.
Yeah.
Because when the federal government decided a national cemetery should be in Raleigh, they took over the old Rock Quarry Cemetery. And, of course, there were 260 Confederate soldiers buried there, and they made them take them up. And that's what started the Confederate Cemetery at Oakwood, that section.
Wow.
But it's a very historical cemetery.
Well, J.C., what's the story of the tombstone that has the picture of Blythe? I believe his name was Blythe. He was architect of the Capitol, and he married a Native American Indian gal, and her picture is
the doorway of her tomb. Yeah,
yes,
a monument.
Yes, yes, yeah. Sir. What's the story on that one?
Well. When I first came to Raleigh, somebody told me there was an Indian princess buried at Oakwood, and I went out, and her name, God forgive me.
What was it, Blythe?
Me right.
His name was
Rachel
Blythe.
Rachel Blythe was her name.
Yeah, I was about to say, I've never heard you not remember anything, J.C. Yeah. you know everything.
But at that time, they could not have gotten married.
Correct.
So they went to Washington, got married, and came back to Raleigh, and they wouldn't let them live together, although they did have two children. She died soon after the second child was born. And but she was raised at Oxford Orphanage. That was my interest in it to start with. And she had two brothers, James and Robert. James left the orphanage, and he became chief of the Cherokee Nation.
Wow.
In western North Carolina.
My goodness.
But he built that monument. He was an architect.
Architect of the Capitol, wasn't he?
And not the Capitol, but he did a lot of state building. Uh-huh. The governor's mansion. He was there. The governor's mansion. But, that's a beautiful monument there in her memory, Rachel Blythe.
Wow. Okay. Well, are there tours? Can you take tours of? Does anybody offer tours
out there? Yeah.
Well, how about that?
And
right.
The first soldier or the first person that was buried in the Confederate cemetery was the only soldier killed in Raleigh's surrender to Sherman in 1865, and. He was buried at the old Rock Quarry Cemetery, but they hung him in a tree, which is where the governor's mansion is located today. And when they finished, they dug a hole right underneath him. And when they cut the rope, he fell in head first, and they buried him from his knees to his toes, sticking up out of the ground. But then later, later patriotic women asked permission to move it. And so
wow.
He was the first person buried in the old Confederate cemetery there.
That's almost more than you want to know.
Yeah.
Gee whiz. Aren't you glad you learned that, Josh? J.C., you have more stories.
But let me mention to you the little booklet that I gave each one of you.
Yeah.
The picture on the front, that's one of my paintings.
Oh, wow. That's
wonderful. I took a painting about 2 years ago.
Oh, I didn't
know that. Is there anything you can't do, J.C.?
I love it. I paint every week, two or three times during the week I paint.
You and Bob Ross. Wow, great. All right, we'll be back from Logan's. It's just such a gorgeous day. Come on out here. We're at the State Farmers Market, brand new location of Logan's. PTF at Logan's, brand new location, and what a location it is. It looks huge. We're kind of at the back of the property. This was a great idea for us to be back here, Josh.
Thank you.
We are looking at the expanse of this place, and we're right here. Rufus is with us. J.C. Knowles popped up, and always glad to have J.C. Tom Packard is with us from Gardeners of Wake County, a storied organization with a lot of history. Ann Clapp was president probably on more than one occasion over the years, and it's maybe still the largest garden club in the country and one of the largest at any rate. Tom, y'all got a sale coming up that is a big tradition, I know, and a good fundraiser for your organization for scholarships or NC State students. Tom, good morning to you.
Hey, Mike, thanks for having me on again. I appreciate it. And yes, you're right. We hold an annual azalea sale that a lot of people are familiar with by now at the fairgrounds, and the money goes towards funding scholarships for horticultural students at NC State. And this year, the sale will be from April 3rd to the 12th. We won't be open on Sunday, April 6th. And one change this year, too, it'll be at the state fairgrounds, but we'll be in the tobacco pavilion because of all the demolition work they're doing up at the flower pavilion area. So that'll
right.
be a nice
yeah, they're
spot.
They're recreating the flower show area. They're tearing down, or I guess they've torn down those old buildings. So y'all will be in a wonderful spot. That's one of my favorite places, along with the flower show area, with the tobacco barn and all of that. Down there, I always make sure that I get down there to see.
Yeah,
that.
It's a perfect spot for us because it'll be covered from the sun, or if it rains, it will still be covered, and it's plenty of space for our 2,400 plants we'll have this year. Oh. And people can still enter off at gate 6 and still park in the same area and just walk down there. But this year we're expanding a bit. We'll still have plenty of azaleas, four different lines of reblooming azaleas, but we're also having some other types of plants, more hydrangeas, some native plants, allspice, American beautyberry, blueberry peach sorbet, blueberries even. And so we're branching out a bit and looking forward to a successful sale.
Well, that's wonderful. And the scholarship, this is a fundraiser for scholarships primarily, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is. And a matter of fact, we just finished selecting our two winners of scholarships this year. We're awarding two $5,000 scholarships to undergraduate horticultural students at NC State. And we like to think we're making a positive impact on their education and future horticultural career. So yeah, it means a lot to us. It means a lot to of course to the students who get the awards, and we have just a fun time putting on the sale, so we hope everybody will come out and see us.
Well, that's a great tradition, and I hope they will come out too and enjoy you there. And give us the dates again, please.
April 3rd through April 12th. We won't be open on April 6th, which is a Sunday. And again, we're at the Tobacco Pavilion at the State Fairgrounds, and you just park free parking at Gate 6.
All right. Tom Packard, thank you, my friend.
Thank you very much. Take care.
All right. You too. All right, more of the Weekend Gardener coming up from Josh Logan's place. Robert Logan's place. A lot of Logans have been a part of this over the years. Back at the State Farmers Market, Logan's new location, State Farmers Market in Raleigh. We shall return here on WPTF's Weekend Gardener. All right, Dave. Dave and Steve. There's Steve. Got J.C. Knowles, Brother Rufus here.
Yeah, you can have my chair.
And, hand Rufus, hand Steve the mic over here and let him, let Steve get all of his pontificating out of the way.
Hey.
Go ahead.
Beware of Trojan gifts.
Oh, I love that Trojan gift. I'm going to have to take a couple with me.
Pink Naked Ladies. Right here.
Or spider lilies.
Spider lilies there, JC. You can sit here if you want to.
Yeah, sit there.
Josh is running around.
Oh man.
Steve, you know JC.
There you go.
Yes, I know JC. I hear him anyway. I don't know him.
Is he say here.
He's missed a lot.
Just don't choke me. You don't.
Okay. I'm trying not to. Are we on?
We are definitely on here. Steve, you brought us some spider lilies.
Yes, I did.
Some.
Enjoy.
There's probably about 30, 40 bulbs in there, and there's more where that came from. So if you run out, and anybody else, they can call me at my garden, and I'll be glad to share some more with them. But I got that, and I've got a kuba that I can dig up and share if somebody wants it.
Nice shady area. You know, for so long, we didn't really have a lot of recommendations for shady, shade-loving plants, but there are lots of them. Now, many more than a kuba, but a kuba is an interesting-looking plant and pretty reliable.
It's called spilled milk. It's got yellow spots all over it. It makes it look like it's got milk spilled on it.
Yep. Right.
It's a beautiful bush.
Uh-huh. Now, at one point, they were having, years ago, there was a problem with a black spot disease, some kind of fungal disease, but I don't hear a lot about that anymore. I haven't had that problem on some of the later varieties, so maybe they figure that out.
That was one of the first things I planted in front of my air conditioner to hide it. Well, I mean, it's either that you have
to. But that's not necessarily good for your air conditioning.
Well, it is if you keep it far enough and keep it trimmed.
Yeah, that's right.
It's been there for 27 years, and it's I've had to trim it back, but other than that, it's just it's been thriving.
It's got
babies underneath it that I can dig up and share with people.
It doesn't it doesn't grow very fast.
No.
So that's another good thing, unless you want a plant that grows fast. But what do you think of this?
This is fabulous.
Isn't it gorgeous?
It is. You guys have a view of the valley.
We do. And Josh thought we would like it out here and see the expanse of the place. And they've got everything. They've got hydrangeas, all the hydrangeas, 40% off. And select Ito peonies, 50% off. Do you have any peonies, Steve?
I have peonies. Does that?
Yeah. We got peonies. Well, that's what we have in Nashville is peonies. But Mr. Friday had peonies. Bill Friday.
My wife's aunt shared her plants at her garden because she was getting older and couldn't do anything with them. So we've got two from her garden that we transplanted that are thriving. And we've shared that several times. So we've been able to dig up some of the roots from that and share it. But anyway... my daylilies are coming up great, and I'm willing to share if anybody wants to come out and look at our garden. Even though it's not in bloom, it's thriving very well, and now's the time to transplant. So
you just go to the Hemericallis Society and
yep,
you find your garden just one more?
Just call up on Google or Bing or whatever your search engine is. Raleigh Daylily Club, and there's a tab at the bottom of the screen for other, and you tab on that, and it gives you a link to the Daylily Clubs, to the display gardens, and my garden is called Just One More, and my address and phone number are on there, and if they would call before they come, I'd be ready for them.
Wonderful.
So, and now's the time to be cleaning up around your daylilies, getting all the dead foliage out, and as much weeding as you can get done. My deal is, you guys would have to pick the most farthest corner from the entrance.
Well,
for those of us that have
JC's 97. Yeah, 96. He made it out here,
yeah.
So I want to hear any hemming and hawing.
He knows what I went through to get here, don't you?
Absolutely.
He had to make a couple of stops, but that's all right. Yeah, I didn't. Yeah.
It's
this is the best place.
Spot,
yeah, this is the best place.
It is a beautiful spot.
I just
spot.
Had no idea it was this big. They've kept this under wraps. And so what do you think of the water garden over here?
Yeah. Where is she, anyway?
Sandra is sitting right there with some of her friends.
Because I've tried to get her out and take a look at my waterfall to see if they could refurbish it. And
we'll go talk to her.
I didn't intend to. Did you not come out here when it was the garden?
Market Imports?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, many times.
So, I mean,
that was always an interesting place.
They had all stuff back all the way back in here.
Yeah, but it just didn't, I guess because they had containers.
Right.
It just didn't look as expansive.
But he
said that they had expanded. This is farther up than they had.
Right.
I don't know how much more.
Yep.
But they did.
I imagine it probably is easier to take care of this than that strip that they had down at the radio, at the railroad station.
Rob has been waiting here.
Okay.
Wait a minute, Steve. Maybe you can answer his question. I don't know what he's going to talk about. Rob, good morning.
Good morning. I don't mind waiting. The battery in my transistor died, so I was working on it.
He's still using the transistor radio. Okay. That's good. Good for you.
I have the ultimate gardening tool. A feller buncher.
A what?
Feller buncher.
Feller buncher.
Yeah.
Rufus, you're the attorney and Latin scholar. Do you know what that is?
I'll have to plead ignorance on that one.
Okay. It has two big grappling arms that goes around the trunk of the plant, and then a large saw comes out and cuts the bottom off.
What?
Well, that could be dangerous.
That's what it is. You use it to cut down trees and move them out of the forest and then drop them in a pile. They're called feller bunchers.
Is this motorized?
Yeah. They're on tracks.
You're talking about big time.
Yeah.
I thought you were gonna end up with it being a human being or something.
That's a big toy. That's a big toy for somebody.
Yeah, Rufus, that's exactly what you need.
I've been thinking about that all. I'll think about that all night long now.
Rufus will be cutting down trees all night.
Anyway, sawing wood, right? Sawing wood.
What's the name of it again?
Feller Buncher.
Feller Buncher. I wonder who came up with that.
I have no idea. But I like the name.
Yeah, I do too. I'll have to look that one up.
And by the way, I was in Nashville last night because I had an emergency service called Rocky Mount, and everybody was riding back and forth from Zaxby's to Taco Bell.
Sounds like a J.C. Knowles joke coming on here.
No, I mean, it's really there must have been 200 cars in that little area. There used to be nothing.
Well, I don't know. I'm heading to Nashville next week.
Well, when I grew up, we drove through town, just circled around.
Well, that's what we did in Nashville when I was a kid.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, it was the happening place. It was
Zaxby's right there.
And there's a Zaxby's, and then across the road there's a Taco Bell, where the Sheetz is.
That's cool.
Oh, okay. That's on the west side of town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gourmet dining for them.
Yeah, Bojangles is over there.
Yeah, Bojangles. Oh, you guys have been riding around down there, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I was riding around there down there in the 50s. In the 1950s.
Well, speaking of Nashville, I just ran across a lady down here in the shop. She says, "Hello, Rufus. My name is Maggie. I'm a master gardener, and I'm from Nashville. Yeah, Mike. I just
North Carolina?
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah.
The real Nashville.
The real Nashville.
Yeah.
It's the center of eastern North Carolina.
It is. It used to be my center of the universe, I'll tell you that.
She said that she heard that we're coming there sometime soon.
We will be there April 26th at the extension office there and the Arboretum.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Like we were last year.
I hope you'll give me a lift.
We didn't. Yeah, of course. We didn't have, and Melissa's going to go with us too. We didn't have enough time to stay. We're going to, hopefully you won't have, are you going to have anything to do afterwards? All right, well, we'll stay and eat somewhere there with a bunch of people.
That's my garden.
Yeah.
All right.
So, Rob, I appreciate you giving me the update. I'll have to look for that riding through town deal.
When Rufus was out riding around as a young man, they used to call it circling the wagons.
Circling the wagons?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just ride through town, turn around, go back through all night long.
Yeah.
Well, until 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you had to go home. Oh, I appreciate you guys. I do.
Well, we appreciate you too, Rob, and please call us again.
I see you.
All right. Take care. Steve, thank you, buddy. All right, thanks for the Steve brought out a bunch of spider lilies for the asking. Come join us here on WPTF. We're kind of the back of the property here where we ought to be. We can see everything.
Oh, absolutely, Steve. Have a Rufus dog.
At a true garden spot in Raleigh. How about that? We're at the State Farmers Market at the new Logan's location. And boy, did they do it up right. They got it all out here, folks. It's a nice place to stroll before or after you eat at the State Farmers Market restaurant. Or at the Market Grill. Market Grill folks brought us some stuff, including Rufus dogs, and we of course have the seafood restaurant. That's what I was trying to think of. I don't know why I was having trouble with that, but they got it all out here. Rufus, what are y'all looking for? Are y'all picking out spider lilies, or what are you doing here? I hear a lot of conversation going on. That's all right. That's the way the show goes. I just wanted to know what y'all were doing. I need to know what y'all are doing.
We're going through the inventory here.
Going through the inventory?
Yeah.
All right. Well, they're pink. So they're pink naked ladies. That's what they're called, JC, the spider lilies.
He said dark red.
Dark red. Okay.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much the standard, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Yeah. That's, you see those blooming in usually September around here?
Well, they come a little earlier, and then, of course, that's why they call them a naked lady, and then you get the foliage later.
Right. Yeah.
So. Now, they do come in pink and yellow, but they're much more expensive.
Yeah.
If they're pink or yellow.
Isn't that nice? You like our banner there? Weekend Gardener? How about that?
Thank you, Steve.
Spiffy. Yeah, thank you, Steve. All right. There's just really something about getting outside and digging at the dirt. But, you know, there are always problems with the warm weather and coming up. Anything you plant's going to attract some type of animal, it seems like, especially moles and voles. But deer and rabbits, yep, they're out there too. Out there digging in the dirt, you and the rabbits and the squirrels and everybody. So watching your new plants come to life is great, but as soon as those tender green shoots appear, so do those deer and rabbits. They're ready to nibble away at your hard work. So don't let that happen to you. Protect your garden with iMust Garden deer and rabbit repellents. iMust Garden repellents are made from natural ingredients, creating a safe, eco-friendly solution for your plants and the environment, and of course, it'll help you out some too. Unlike harsh chemical sprays, Imos Garden works with nature, not against it. Carefully crafted formula is gentle on your garden but tough on your deer and rabbits, sending them elsewhere without causing harm. You'll find Imos Garden repellents at independent garden centers and hardware stores all across the Triangle area, including Town and Country hardware stores throughout the Triangle area, Fitch Lumber and Carrboro. Logan's, of course, has it. There's people, pet safe, environmentally friendly, and remember, it smells good, too. Imos Garden, it's your ultimate defense against garden pests. All right, boy, I'll tell you, we're moving along here. The weekend garden, the pollen is all over. My phone was just sitting there, and the wind was moving out. Now I'm having to wipe off everything. We've really got a good pollen year that's coming up. We're still a couple of weeks away from the peak of it. The pine pollen is what we normally see, the yellow pine pollen. And I was reading something the other day, Rufus, that bees don't use pine pollen. They don't care about pine pollen. It's not nutritious, so they don't mess with it. I guess they kind of get covered in it like everybody else, but they don't use it to make their bee bread or their honey.
Huh. Well, you learn something every day from Mike Raley.
Well, I just...
Is that why you got to be the Hall of Fame?
I don't know how I got into the Hall of Fame.
Here comes Monica.
Miss Monica. You been busy today?
I know how he got to the Hall of Fame. When I had programs on WPTF, he and I made him look good.
That's right. JC had a program, one of the most interesting programs. And, of course, that was on Sunday night. And, of course, JC was Bart Rittner's most popular guest, period. Bart wouldn't have a lot of guests on. He didn't care about having guests. He liked to talk, to argue with people.
I remember him so well. And, of course, Barbara Heisler, who...
Sweetest lady.
She was great.
She just, she had such a beautiful speaking voice. I just loved her. And, but she took Bart's place. Bart became news director, and so Barbara took her talk show. I applied for it, but I didn't get it. I didn't know enough. Wally Osley knew that, so he didn't give it to me. He was general manager. But she was wonderful. And I think she passed away, sometime in the last 3 or 4 years, I think. But she was a dear lady. And Bart was Bart, but he would have only good guests. He knew how to pick the guests, and they would always get a lot of calls. And JC, they just loved JC because it meant money. How much, Mr. JC, for my silverware? I got these cups and saucers. Can you tell me about them? So, yeah.
And I assumed, JC, that everybody thought their stuff was worth more than that it was.
It's like the JC was the first Antiques Roadshow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never will forget one night a man called in and said he had a Tiffany vase and wanted to know what it was worth. And I got to talk to him about it, and all of us, I told him, I said, it's worth about $3,500 from what he described. And just as soon as I told him that, we heard a crash. And people called in, did that man drop that vase and break it? I said, I guess so. I don't know. Well, a couple of days later, I saw the man, and he started laughing. I said, what are you laughing at? He said, I got your folks on radio all shook up.
He did it on purpose.
I dropped a glass milk bottle.
That's funny. But so he really did have a Tiffany.
Evidently, he really had it, yeah.
Yeah, how about that? Well, I know. You just never – it was just so interesting. You never knew what somebody was going to come up with, and JC always had a great answer, a definitive answer, and would throw in some history, too.
Yeah, I enjoyed my time. And, of course, Bart, a lot of time, Bart wanted to know about history.
Yeah, yeah. Bart was a smart guy.
Every Halloween, I gave, told Halloween stories. I guess I did that 5 or 6 years at PTF.
At least, yeah.
Has anybody ever written a history of PTF?
There are a couple of them, but not, you know, Dick Stork was going to do that. Mr. Curtis was going to hire him to do that, and Dick passed away. We were just before we were getting ready. In fact, we had started meeting a panel of people at work, including Mr. Curtis, about the history of WPTF. I wrote about 50 biographies of the announcers, Bill Jackson, all those people, and Dick really kept up with PTF and really learned, delved into the history of it. He knew it. He was a really smart guy anyway. But he had a heart attack and died, and so we couldn't do all of that. But there are, if you look online, there are some histories. A young lady did one, interviewed others. Probably 20 years ago, and wrote pretty expansive, but it's just online.
Yeah, I got a one-page story of
when
they started. And my first contact with PTF, before I was drafted in the Army in 1950, I came to Raleigh, and on Friday, Phil Ellis had a program called Man on the Street.
Yeah, and Carl Gerch, I think, had done that before him.
And I was on that program, and I won a prize. That was my first contact with WPTF. Of course,
well, that's a good way.
We used to listen to it all the time at the orphanage.
Yeah. Charles Gerault listened when he in Onslow County. They had a big console radio, and radios back then, some of them had call letters on the dial, and PTF was one of those call letters. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF. It's 9:56.